Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our meditation on this 24th Sunday after Trinity is the Thomasius Epistle lesson appointed for this day, which we find recorded in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, reading from verse 1 through verse 6 as follows. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's for the text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior and the only judge of sinful mankind, beloved hearers of His precious Word. When you speak to somebody nowadays about the second visible coming of the Lord Jesus on the Day of Judgment, provided, of course, the conversation is not muddied up with that all too common myth of the millennium pushed by most of the Reformed churches nowadays, you can expect a variety of reactions. There are, first of all, the outspoken scoffers who ridicule the whole idea of a judgment day as one of those typically Christian scare tactics, like the wrath of God, eternal retribution, punishment in hell, and so on. It simply won't happen, they tell you. And in perfect fulfillment of the Apostle Peter's prophecy in his second epistle, chapter 3, verse 4, they say, where is the promise of his coming? Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. It's been 2,000 years or so. If that's quick, I'd like to know what slow is. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Then there are those who simply don't want to talk about it. They are the spiritual ostriches who operate the same way in just about everything they do, especially when they are faced with the consequences of their own acts and the consequences particularly of their own sins. They simply ignore the whole idea of Judgment Day as if it somehow won't affect them, if indeed it ever comes to pass. They engage in perpetual denial of reality, a severe disorder of the mind, say psychiatrists and psychologists. But we know it's a lot worse than that. It is a spiritual self-delusion of the very worst kind, as the Bible clearly teaches in 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But by God's grace, there are also those who believe what the Holy Scriptures teach about the last day and the final judgment, who cling in confidence to their justification by God as his free gift for Christ's sake to poor, undeserving sinners, who rest assured of their salvation because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to them by faith in his blood. Such people, whom the Apostle Paul here in our text calls the children of light, actually look forward to Judgment Day with boldness, with confidence, not as a threat, but as a promise of their redemption drawing nigh, their ultimate redemption of being received into the mansions of heaven for Jesus' sake. The question which the Apostle Paul lays before us in the text this morning and directs to us for our self-examination and for our own assurance is, are you ready right now for Judgment Day? Your answer will, of course, depend upon whether you are bogged down and groping about in darkness, or whether by the grace of God you are children of light. Concerning the times and the seasons, Paul says in the opening words of our text, the span of time between today and the last day, the day of judgment, and all those things that must come to pass, Jesus says, before his second visible advent, the Bible is very clear indeed. Jesus himself goes into considerable detail about what we call the signs of the times, the times pointing to his second advent as it grows nearer, particularly in Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21, so that we are both forewarned and forearmed well ahead of time to be ready for Jesus' second visible coming. And yet, of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, Jesus tells us, not even the holy angels who will accompany him in his glorious return. Consequently, in spite of the warning signs that will precede it, Paul writes in our text that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Thieves don't send out notices ahead of time with the date on which they plan to break into your house. They just show up all of a sudden when they are least expected and when the occupants of the house are completely unprepared and helpless to offer any resistance. That's how the Lord Jesus is going to come again on the last day. But that's why the children of this world, who sit in darkness, who sit in spiritual ignorance, in unbelief of the truth, and in vain carnal security, as if this will never happen, this is why they will be, Paul says, overtaken. They will be overtaken by the day of the Lord, for when they shall say, peace and safety, when they shall cry, three bells and all's well, so to speak, when they ignore all of the warnings of the wrath to come, when they imagine themselves to be at peace with God because of their positive self-image and their contrived notion of righteousness, when they think that they're living in complete safety and are lulled into spiritual sleep by their false sense of security, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. It will happen with the unexpected suddenness that hard labor sometimes comes upon a pregnant woman. Much earlier than expected, with an intensity that she had not anticipated, with such heavy, protracted, unrelenting contractions that make her unable to help herself or even to cope, perhaps unable even to seek assistance. And being all alone, she's faced with her complications, so to speak, in complete isolation. That's a panicky situation. As travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape, these unbelievers, as when both a mother and a child die in a tragic scenario. That will be the well-deserved fate of those who sleep, the apostle writes. That is, those who are spiritually asleep at the switch. Those who despise the warnings of God's holy law regarding their sins. Those who refuse to repent of their sins when they have been admonished and convicted by God's word. Those who despise the grace of God that bringeth salvation to the undeserving. Those who are not watchful, who imagine that there will be no price to pay for their transgressions. And for those who are not sober. That doesn't mean those who are free of alcohol. That word sober simply means sober-minded, serious-minded about the condition of their souls, concerned about their eternal salvation. Sadly, that's precisely the state in which most people will find themselves on the day of the Lord, on the last day. Even many professing Christians whose claim of faith and of faithfulness is just so much talk. But ye, brethren, ye are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Paul writes that to us, in contrast to those who in unbelief will perish at Christ's second visible advent. He speaks here to brethren, to those whose profession, whose practice, whose way of life give evidence of their faith, give evidence of their knowledge of these things, give evidence of their preparedness for Jesus' sudden and otherwise unexpected appearance. Indeed, this much can surely be said of you and me, of the times and the seasons, brethren. Ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. From the Holy Scriptures, which by God's grace we have preached and taught from this pulpit in their truth and purity, we know full well about the last day. We know all about it. We know how it will take place. We know what the Lord Jesus will do when he comes again. We know how serious a thing it is that we be prepared to meet our Savior at any time. In true repentance for our sins, in confidence of our forgiveness, in anticipation of our salvation. We also know how disastrous it would be to be caught unawares. With our lamps of faith, dark and cold, as those five foolish virgins in the Savior's Gospel. Jesus says, in the latter days, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many who once were in love with the Lord Jesus, who were once hot for Jesus and for his precious word and for his church. But he that shall endure unto the end, endure in that heat, endure in that first love, unto the end, not almost unto the end, not generally speaking, unto the end, and not just outwardly and pretentiously unto the end, as those who have been for many years faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus, but he that shall endure in true faith, in true love for Jesus as a Savior, unto the end, the very end, the same shall be saved. Now here's a challenge for you and for me. He says, ye, brethren, are all the children of light and the children of the day. You and I, to whom these words are addressed, are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Paul writes to the Galatians, born again by the operation of the Holy Spirit through the power of the gospel, born again by the word of the gospel in holy baptism for many of us already in infancy, born again by the operation of the Spirit who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. By the gospel, by the powerful word of the gospel, by the powerful word of the gospel in baptism, the Holy Spirit brought us to saving faith. He made us children of God and heirs of everlasting life by enlightening us with his gifts, by giving us a saving knowledge of Christ our Savior, so that now we trust and believe, rejoice, and take comfort in him. He sanctified us in the true faith by renewing our hearts, to live unto him who died for us and rose again. And he has kept us in the true faith even unto the present day by growth in grace and in the knowledge of his precious saving word. He did that all for us who were dead in trespasses and sins, by nature deserving of his wrath, by nature deserving of his displeasure, by nature deserving of both temporal and eternal death, and deserving of looking forward to the last day, not with joyful anticipation, but with terror, in utter despair, consumed with the hopelessness of ever seeing heaven. What a miracle of miracles, therefore, that we, brethren, are not in darkness. That day, judgment day, should come upon us unawares and overtake us as a thief does. That we, by God's grace, are not of the night nor of darkness, Paul says in our text. Therefore, And here's the conclusion. Therefore, for that very reason, because of that unspeakably great blessing of God's abundant grace toward us poor sinners in Christ our Savior, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us not become complacent and unconcerned about our sins. Let's not take the marvelous grace of God in Christ Jesus for granted and just continue in sin that grace may abound. Let's not get carnally secure in imagined self-righteousness as the long-term Christians that you and I have been over the years. Let's not become spiritually sluggish, like proverbial molasses in January, so that our love for the Savior is waxing, growing cold, so that our fruits no longer flow freely and abundantly as they once did when we had first love for Jesus our Savior. Let's not go to sleep at the switch spiritually when it comes to keeping a sharp lookout for those enemies of our soul, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, who would like nothing better than to see us fall just before the end, doze off in spiritual complacency and slumber, deceiving us at the very last minute into misbelief, wrong belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. But let us watch and be sober, Paul exhorts us. Keep watch. Keep alert. Satan is after you, my dear hearers. He wants to deceive you. He wants to seduce you. He wants to devour you. He wants to murder your own soul. We know that from the Scriptures. We have been enlightened to that fact by the holy word of our God. Let's not take those warnings for granted. Be sober. Be serious-minded about all of this, about your faith, and about the dangers that lie in wait to destroy it. Dangers that become more prevalent and more serious every single day as Judgment Day draws near. Then, strengthened by God's grace, in and through His precious Word, enabled by His Holy Spirit to identify and successfully to combat the enemies of our souls, fired up with His holy zeal to hold fast that which we have, that nobody takes our crown away from us, so that the day of the Lord does not overtake us as a thief. We can look forward. We can look forward with joy. We can look forward in peace. We can look forward with great anticipation and confidence of our salvation to Jesus' second coming, lifting up our heads with joy because our redemption is drawing nigh. God grant us who know better. God grant us who have been enlightened by His precious word. God grant us sober watchfulness in the light of his word. So that in steadfast faith, even unto the end, we can sing with confident anticipation of the day of the Lord, with my lamp well trimmed and burning, swift to hear and slow to roam, watching for thy glad returning to restore me to my home. Come, my Savior. Come, my dear Savior. O my Savior, quickly come. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in the light of his precious word through faith unto everlasting salvation for Jesus' sake. Amen.